How do the unwise interpret the Quran? This program is based on the book How Do the Unwise Interpret the Quran by Harun Yahya. God, the Lord of all the worlds, the one with infinite knowledge and power, has sent the Quran as a source of mercy to all mankind. Those who respond to this gift from God with sincerity and gratitude will reap the benefits. They will be able to understand the Quran, follow it, believe in it, and so receive His mercy. Conversely, those who approach the Quran with insincerity and animosity will suffer the consequences of their actions. They will never comprehend the Quran nor benefit from its wisdom, and will suffer losses both in this world and in the hereafter. And try as they may, they can do no harm to the Quran or to Islam. The Quran has been sent as a book that can be easily understood by everyone. Understanding the Quran correctly is possible only through having sincere faith. As faith increases, so do wisdom, sincerity, and fear of God at the same rate. As a result, the finer points and mysteries of the Quran can be understood much better. When a person who is not a believer still reads the Quran sincerely and without ulterior motives, he readily recognizes that it is a holy book and thus becomes a believer. As God's verses are clear, they can be acted upon immediately. After an individual becomes a believer, the depth of his faith, prayer, and the level of his knowledge will be the factors that will grant him access to the intricacies and mysteries of the Quran. On the other hand, those without faith or fear of God cannot comprehend the Quran correctly. In fact, they misinterpret even the most obvious matters which they claim to know. Explicit expressions appear contradictory to them. No matter how clever, knowledgeable, cultured, or well-informed about the Quran these people may be, they are incapable of comprehending its contents due to their lack of faith in God. When one studies the allegations made by people who oppose the Quran, the misunderstandings and gaps of logic they are based on are obvious. Self-seeking people claim to see the verses, which are so clear, as contradictory and confusing. This is a miracle of the Quran. A verse that is very easy for a believer to understand becomes equally perplexing for a non-believer. This shows us that understanding the Quran depends on the sincerity of one's intentions, and that it is God who decides whether or not a person should receive this understanding. This is clarified in a verse in these words: Who could do greater wrong than someone who is reminded of the signs of his Lord and then turns away from them, forgetting all that he has done before? We have placed covers on their hearts, preventing them from understanding it, and heaviness in their ears. Though you call them to guidance, they will nonetheless never be guided. Surah 18, verse 57. This program discusses the reasons why such unperceptive people misinterpret the Quran, studies various examples of their illogical comments and objections to the Quranic verses, and responds to them. Furthermore, the mindlessness, prejudice, and deficient logic of some people who are accepted by the public as reputable scientists or respectable intellectuals are also revealed by using their own objections to the Quranic verses. One of the most important reasons why some people misinterpret the Quran is their lack of sincerity. No matter how clever and cultured a person may be, if he views the Quran with an insincere and concealed intent, he will not be able to understand or interpret it correctly, and will reach many false conclusions. That is why, according to the Quran, an obscuring veil will form between someone with a prejudiced and calculating approach and the Quran. This will prevent him from understanding and comprehending the divine book of God. This fact is mentioned in a Quranic verse in this way: "When you recite the Quran, we place an obscuring veil between you and those who do not believe in the hereafter. We have placed covers on their hearts, preventing them from understanding it, and heaviness in their ears. When you mention your Lord alone in the Quran, they turn their backs and run away." Surah 17, verse 45 to 46. The Quran is written in a very clear, simple, and understandable language, but, as we have already stated, it is a book that is only clear to those believers with a pure conscience. If anyone who has not been introduced to Islam yet, in other words, who is still a non-believer, approaches the Quran wholeheartedly, sincerely, and without prejudice, which are the traits of a believer, he will be able to realize by the use of his conscience that it is the Word of God. The magnificence of the style of the Quran, its perfection, its clarity, and its superior scientific contents and wisdom reveal this fact openly. The Quranic commandments have been explained in a clear and simple manner so believers can easily abide by them. These are called the perspicuous, that is, muqam verses. These verses, according to the Quran, are the core of the book and so make up its foundation. There is another type of Quranic verses that are referred to as intricate, that is, mutashabih verses. These types of verses contain various comparisons and similes. People with no Quranic knowledge but ulterior motives can misinterpret the intricate verses in many twisted and startling ways. This is explained in Surah Al-Imran, verse 7, in this way: "It is He who sent down the book to you from Him, verses containing clear judgments. They are the core of the book, and others which are open to interpretation. Those with deviation in their hearts follow what is open to interpretation in it, desiring conflict, seeking its inner meaning. No one knows its inner meaning but God. Those firmly rooted in knowledge say, 'We have faith in it. All of it is from our Lord.' But only people of intelligence pay heed." God alone knows the meaning of intricate verses. No interpretations outside these meanings reflect the truth about these verses. Throughout history, there have been perverted people, sects, and movements that have interpreted the intricate Quranic verses in order to serve their own twisted aims and expectations. It is stated in the verse we just recited that this is sedition, and that only people with misguided hearts, and more specifically, those who have deviated from the right path, would resort to such methods. The fact that only God knows the true meaning of these intricate verses is also made clear in the verse. God can reveal the information necessary for the interpretation of these verses to whomever He pleases. However, believers accept all of these intricate verses, the knowledge of which has not been revealed to them. They would never stoop to making perverted interpretations like those who wish to see conflict and whose hearts are twisted. The Quran is a miraculous book that contains all of the essential information mankind needs. This is due to the endless divine wisdom present in it. A finite number of verses contain infinite knowledge that has been placed in them with superior wisdom. The verses contain meanings that may be apparent, hidden, interwoven, or overlapping. They also produce countless other meanings when they interact with other verses. There are times when a single verse can take a whole book to explain. That is why, in order to be able to interpret the Quran correctly, one must be capable of grasping it in its entirety. In addition to this, one must also be skilled in all the required interpretation techniques. One significant technique consists of analyzing a verse according to its content in the Quran. The meaning of a Quranic verse can often be explained according to the theme around it. The way a verse begins and those verses which follow it help to clarify its meaning. Another important method is to interpret the words that make up the verses by taking their context in that particular verse into consideration. Time and again, a word can have more than one meaning. So the meaning of such a word is to be deduced from the manner in which it is used in a different section of the Quran. Just looking the word up in a dictionary and applying the first meaning we come across can result in an extremely inaccurate interpretation. And sometimes, the interpretation that results can even be the opposite of the true meaning. One can see from this that the Quran is self-explanatory. The explanations of one verse can sometimes be hidden in the meaning of another verse or verses. Another important rule in the interpretation of the Quran is to fully grasp its essence. In order to do that, one has to see it as a whole. Furthermore, it should be explained in the light of the many verses which reflect the infinite mercy, compassion, and justice of God. Another important factor in interpreting the Quran correctly is the knowledge of Arabic. God states that He has sent the Quran as a book written in Arabic. Obviously, translations into other languages are sufficient when one only needs to understand very basic concepts, such as learning about God, the main principles of faith, and their essential applications, as well as seeking guidance and meditating on it. Nonetheless, none of these translations can, in any way, match the original language of the Quran. Even in a direct word-for-word translation, a lot of vocabulary as well as meanings will be missed. That is because it is quite impossible to grammatically adapt many Arabic words in their correct sentence form to any other language. Therefore, so-called translations of the Quran do no more than give an overall feel of its contents and never actually reflect the exact meanings of the verses. Therefore, unless the Quran is studied in its original language, Arabic, one's ability to comprehend its intricacies will be severely limited. Trying to explain Quranic verses from translations in other languages may not always be accurate, and in fact, could even distort its meanings and intentions. Relying on single or equivalent meanings of the words used in translations, without knowing their original and various other meanings in Arabic, could result in misunderstanding the whole verse. Even worse, an interpretation entirely at odds with the original meanings could result. Arabic is one of the deepest rooted and richest languages in the world. It is powerfully expressive and has an extensive vocabulary. However, to claim that because of the language it is written in, the Quran has only been sent to Arabs and that they are therefore the chosen people would be an assumption at odds with the ideals of the Quran. It is a well-known fact the Quran emphasizes that the only criteria that constitute superiority are fear of God and a person's closeness to God, and that no criteria other than these apply. Furthermore, it is stated in Surah Sa'd, verse 87, that the Quran is a reminder for all peoples. People whose aims are to influence the ignorant and try to destroy Islam make claims such as Islam is a religion only for Arabs. It is sufficient to read the Quran itself to realize just how baseless and deliberate such ideas are. Another faculty required to understand the Quran is having the wisdom, understanding, and comprehension provided by God. The essentials necessary to interpret the Quran are a total acknowledgement of the Quran, knowing the various methods of interpretation, and having extensive Arabic skills. Nonetheless, even if one possesses all these, one still cannot benefit from the Quran unless one has God's gift of understanding. This is why it is not sufficient to possess only the necessary technical knowledge to correctly interpret the Quran. History is full of examples of people who, with all their supposed technical abilities, have fallen into the error of explaining the Quran with a twisted approach. The founders of many perverse religious movements and sects seem proficient in their fields, but are in fact devoid of the knowledge and comprehension bestowed by God. These people have distanced themselves and their ignorant and mindless followers from the true practice of Islam. Moreover, the idolaters of Mecca during the Prophet Muhammad's time, who read but did not understand and therefore rejected the Quran, are clear examples that simply knowing Arabic is not enough to comprehend the Quran. The first rule in receiving the ability of understanding from God is to fear Him and be sincere. It would not be possible to receive such comprehension while indulging solely in the pleasures of this world. A person who follows his baser self will be inclined to interpret the Quran according to his own whims and convenience. So it will not be possible for him to find the true meaning of the verses as they are intended by God. It is stated in one of the verses of the Quran how a self-absorbed person is incapable of true understanding. Have you seen him who has taken his whims and desires to be his God? Will you then be his guardian? Do you suppose that most of them hear or understand? They are just like cattle. Indeed, they are even more astray. Surah 25, verse 43-44. It says in the Quran that in order to make a sound interpretation of its contents, one has to think about and contemplate it thoroughly. If the Quran is viewed superficially and read as if it were just another ordinary book, then the true benefits of this endless source of wisdom will not surface. Thinking, using one's reason, and making an effort to try and grasp the meanings, finer points, mysteries, and miracles of the Quran are essential if one is to truly appreciate it. The Quran reveals to everyone information about himself, the purpose behind his creation, the true nature of this world, the reasons for what goes on around him, along with many other subjects concerning him and his surroundings. Accordingly, one should try to establish a connection between the verses and himself, his surroundings, and the events he experiences, and strive to understand the Quran by thinking deeply on all of these. It is stated in the Quran that it was revealed to those who reflect. In this way we make our signs clear for people who reflect. Surah 10, verse 24. Since the verses have been revealed only for those who reflect, it is clear that those who do not do so will not comprehend the meanings of any of the verses in the Quran. Also, arrogance will prevent anyone from understanding the Quran. Since an arrogant person considers himself to be superior, he will not possess the necessary humility and awareness needed to approach the Quran properly. He will be unable to bear to see the verses that remind him of his weaknesses, the fact that he is a servant of God, and that God is the one who has given him everything he has ever owned and all of his attributes. He cannot bring himself to receive the warnings, follow the given commandments, distance himself from what is forbidden, or surrender to the wisdom of God. His pride and assumed superiority prevent him from doing so. That is the reason why he will see the Quran as a threat to his character, which is based on arrogance. He will fight with all of his might to seek ways to contradict the Quran. In so doing, he will argue about the verses. It has been stated in Surah Araf, verse 146, that those with pride cannot comprehend its verses. I will divert from my signs all those who are arrogant in the earth without any right. If they see every sign, they will not believe in it. If they see the way of right guidance, they will not take it as a way. But if they see the way of error, they will take that as a way. That is because they denied our signs and paid no attention to them. One of the greatest mistakes made when trying to interpret the Quran is making use of hearsay and superstitions from one's forefathers and of old traditions which are claimed to be the words of religion. People who do that follow an inherited traditional religion rather than the Quran, and at the same time try to adapt the Quran to that perverted religion. Their twisted mentality has been described in the Quran. When they are told, "Follow what God has sent down to you," they say, "We are following what we found our fathers doing." What, even though their fathers did not understand a thing and were not guided? Surah 2, verse 170. This model, which is presented under the name of Islam, in fact, has no relation whatsoever with the true religion, ethics, and lifestyles that are described in the Quran. This distorted model is based on traditions and old-fashioned superstitions, and not on the Quran. It is obviously impossible to explain the Quran with such nonsense. However, as mentioned in the Quran, these fabrications that are manufactured by distorting the book with tongues only serve to distance one from the Quran. Such people try to give the impression that they base what they say on the Quran when trying to authenticate their ideas, interpretations, judgments, and applications that are, in truth, far from anything the Quran actually represents. Yet, they cannot put together any logical explanation for their unfounded claims. No matter how hard they try, anyone with common sense can see through their ridiculous explanations. Those who put such superstitions forward are actually well aware of the fact that they cannot make the Quran fit their twisted approach, so they content themselves with just distancing people further from the true book. Reading the Quran with awareness and a strong conscience would result in exposing the true face of such warped beliefs. It would also lead to a loss of position and rank. The Quran reports the situation of people who are far from realizing the true meaning of the Quranic verses and yet try to turn people away from the right path with uneducated explanations. But there are some people who trade in distracting tales to misguide people from God's way, knowing nothing about it, and to make a mockery of it. Such people will have a humiliating punishment. When our signs are recited to such a person, he turns away arrogantly, as if he had not heard, as if there was a great weight in his ears. So give him news of a painful punishment. Surah 31, verse 6-7. Such wicked tendencies will lead these people's followers to loss in this world and in the hereafter. At the same time, they will cause those without sufficient knowledge of religion to split away from Islam and prevent them from drawing close to God. These people will spark off the utmost disruption and pose a threat to religion by attracting more ignorant people like themselves to their side. However, the right will always be victorious against the wrong, and as the Quran informs us, the falsehood is always bound to vanish. Some people, on the other hand, are unable to understand the verses of the Quran that refer to some scientific facts. Many topics, from the creation phases of the universe, human beings, and the formation of rain, to the movement of continents, are mentioned as proof of the perfection and superiority of God's creation. Nevertheless, obviously the Quran is not a book of science. In the Quran, scientific information is sometimes mentioned in a clear, lucid language, and at other times it is explained by means of comparisons, indications, or concealed language. Being unable to realize the wisdom in such verses, some prejudiced people, who do not possess the necessary basic knowledge of science and scientific progress, nor a subtle comprehension, end up opposing the Quran. Still, the people of the 21st century witness, through the use of the latest technological observations, experiments, and research, the miraculous verification of various scientific facts pointed to in the Quran. Furthermore, science was dominated by hearsay and unproven theories until the last two centuries, when all the while the Quran, written some 1,400 years ago, was drawing attention to scientific facts that have finally been proven today. Numerous scientific topics such as the Big Bang, the expansion of the universe, the relativity of time, continental motion, were all mentioned in the Quran when it was revealed nearly 1,400 years ago. The secret of these verses remained a mystery for Muslims, who had been reading them for years. However, Muslims expressed faith in all of these verses, which they knew to contain many secrets and great wisdom, without understanding their true meaning, just as they believe without any doubt that the Quran is the truth revealed by God. Those who use their reason and are capable of intense thought perceive each verse as a part of the endless knowledge of God. It is true that there remain some verses that have yet to be fully explained, and whose mysteries have still to be revealed. Such verses are a source of excitement and enthusiasm for the true believer. This concealed knowledge also makes them feel totally enclosed within the boundless wisdom of God. Those with ulterior motives commonly try to cast doubt on those verses which have not yet been explained by the current standards of science and technology. In the Quran, it is said of those people, "Then when they arrive, God will say, 'Did you deny my signs even though you did not have proper knowledge of them? What were you doing?'" Surah 27, verse 84. People like that, who approach the Quran with prejudice, are bound to view verses which their limited intelligence and knowledge fail to make immediately clear as evidence of inconsistency, as their real purpose is seeking contradiction in the Quran. Just as there were verses which could only be explained today, there may be still more verses waiting to be clarified in the future. For instance, in the Quran, it is mentioned that a person of knowledge in the company of the Prophet Solomon brings Queen Saba's throne from her palace, thousands of miles away. This event gives indications of possible matter transfer. In another verse, it is informed that the Prophet Yaqub senses the presence of his son, the Prophet Joseph, from many miles away. The possible scent transfer. Even though these may appear to be impossible with today's technology, such ideas have already made an appearance in science fiction. Natural that some of the verses in the Quran, which is valid till the Day of Judgment and contains information that is applicable to all times, are not understandable when they are interpreted only by using the currently available technological data, which have still not reached the required level. However, as further advances are made, the overlapping meanings in the scientific Quranic verses are becoming clearer. There are those who accept the rules applied by the majority as absolute facts and use them to try to interpret the Quran. People like this make up the majority of those who try to object to the Quran, even though they are the least educated and cultured. It is possible to come across such people in every profession and part of society. They make up a majority who do not think too deeply or possess a certain worldview, and are obsessed only with worldly pursuits, and are only focused on their livelihoods. Since they seek simple pleasures, small calculations and profits, they perceive the Quran as a threat that would limit their so-called freedom, alter their simple lifestyles or expectations, and the order to which they are accustomed. Therefore, they try to oppose the Quran with their primitive logic. Members of this group make the same comments about the Quran that they have heard from others, ideas originally not their own. They usually make unreasonable and ignorant remarks about the Quran using sentences that begin with such words as, "in the 21st century," "in our day and age," "in the space age," "in the West," and so on. They make false claims concerning the Quran, proposing that the lifestyle described in the Quran and that of our own time are incompatible. For example, they claim that such things as fasting and prayer interfere with the pace of the modern lifestyle, that the Islamic ban on interest cannot be practiced under current economic conditions, and even that the prohibition of adultery in this day and age is evidence of the impossibility of applying the Quran to our daily lives. They apply superficial logic and display great ignorance when addressing the topics of the prayers, commands, and prohibitions in the Quran. They introduce arguments about the wisdom in some commands which they do not understand, or the verses that they cannot comprehend. Worse still, they defend their illogical claims with great ferocity. This stems in part from the fact that what they are defending with such eagerness is based on the ideas of the majority, rather than on logic or reason. The notions they use as criteria have no actual scientific or logical worth. The concepts that they assume to be the absolute truth, the facts of life, or the requirements of the modern age are in fact illusions with which they only deceive themselves and provide psychological support for one another. We are informed in Surah An'am, verse 116, of the twisted paths of these people who gather all their strength from being part of the majority and think that they are on the right path since they are in harmony with everyone else. If you obeyed most of those on earth, they would misguide you from God's way. They follow nothing but conjecture. They are only guessing. There are some topics in the Quran that unwise people portray as a contradiction. One of them is how wine is served in heaven when it is forbidden in this world. The verse that they use to make their claim is the 15th verse of the Surah Muhammad. An image of the garden which is promised to those who have fear of God. In it there are rivers of water which will never spoil, and rivers of milk whose taste will never change, and rivers of wine, delightful to all who drink it, and rivers of honey of undiluted purity. In it they will have fruit of every kind and forgiveness from their Lord. As previously explained, this type of error of perception occurs when one is prejudiced, deliberately perverse, unable to reason, and has not grasped the Quran as a whole. Now, let us examine why such a thoughtless claim is illogical and baseless from several angles. First of all, we are able to see that there is a difference between the drink served in heaven and the one of this world from another verse as follows. With goblets, shining beakers, and cups filled out of clear flowing fountains, no afterache will they receive therefrom, nor will they suffer intoxication. Surah 56, verse 18 to 19. As can be seen, the drinks served in heaven do not have any of the negative effects and attributes that alcoholic drinks in this world do. As mentioned in the verse, they do not cause headaches or confuse the mind. This means that, even though they give pleasure, they do not in any way cause drunkenness or illness. So, there is not the least inconsistency of such a drink being offered in heaven. Alcoholic drinks in this world, on the other hand, have been portrayed in Surah Baqarah, verse 219, and Surah Ma'idah, verse 90, together with their many damaging and harmful attributes. Secondly, in the Arabic text of the Quran, the word Hamr, which stands for the word wine, and all alcoholic drinks as we know them, is only mentioned in the verse number 15 from Surah Muhammad as a drink served in heaven. In all the other verses of the Quran, the word sharab is used for heavenly drinks and means any type of drink in Arabic. In some English translations, the word sharab is translated as wine, whereas in Arabic, it originates from the word sherebe and can be used to mean any non-alcoholic drink as well. Another unwise example that those who misinterpret the Quran give is about the unlawfulness of pork. Pork has many harmful qualities. First of all, the pig, no matter how hygienic the surroundings where it is raised, is still an animal that consumes its own excrement. The metabolism of the pig produces many antibodies in comparison to other animals, both because it feeds on its own excrement and because of its biological makeup. Moreover, its metabolism produces large amounts of growth hormones compared to those of other animals and human beings. Naturally, these antibodies and growth hormones make their way to the pig's muscles during circulation and accumulate there. In addition, pork contains large amounts of cholesterol and lipids. As a result, it has been scientifically proven that all these excessive antibodies, hormones, cholesterols, and lipids present in pork pose a threat to human health. Another harmful subject pork often contains is its trichina, a small parasitic worm. This particular parasite affects the heart muscles when it enters the body and represents a fatal risk. Even though it may be possible with today's technology to diagnose those pigs infected with this parasite, that was not the case until recently. In the past, therefore, people always faced the danger of such a fatal infection. As can be seen, the wisdom behind the prohibition of pork in Islam is apparent. However, there is an important point to remember. It is not essential for something to be unhealthy or harmful to human beings in order for it to be prohibited. God can prohibit anything for many different reasons. He can also prohibit something not harmful in order to test those who truly fear Him, love and obey Him, as well as to expose the pretenders. Moreover, something can be prohibited for purposes of punishment or warning, or simply for the remembrance of blessings and as a means for people to show their gratitude. Everyone is responsible for observing these prohibitions until they die. Since the Quran is valid until the Day of Judgment, any form of pork consumption, other than the extraordinary situation stated in the Quran, is forbidden until then. If after 100 years, pork is completely treated of any health hazards, to avoid consuming it would still be a form of worship for true believers. Then, the question of whether to eat it or not will again be a trial for those mindless objectors. One important element in the Quranic style is that it explains various subjects through examples or comparisons. These are often from the lives of previous prophets or messengers or events that occurred before the Quran's revelations. Therefore, these types of Quranic anecdotes display many warnings, examples, signs, and messages to people. The unwise regard these anecdotes as myths and legends, even though they contain considerable enlightening information and examples for true believers. God explains every possible event and the laws of all times by giving examples or illustrations from the lives of past prophets and nations. Obviously, to provide historical information is not the only aim of these Quranic anecdotes or examples. They contain numerous holy aims too. We can list a few of them thus: to display the laws of God that have existed since the creation of the universe and govern believers as well as non-believers. To explain and prepare the believers of all times for any events, tests, or hardships they might experience, such as how they should behave and react, the type of spirit and conscience they should display, the behavior and manner they should demonstrate towards God, namely to show the believers the right path in every subject. To increase the enthusiasm of true believers, to invite the defiant to the right path, and to remind those who do not accept his invitation of the consequences of their actions, to deliver the delightful news to the followers of the Quran about the beautiful end that awaits them in this world and the next. Evidently, those who lack the intelligence and the sense to perceive such things will assume the Quran to be a storybook and will not see the hidden wisdom in the Quranic anecdotes. Some of the people who do not believe assume that the Quran is an imitation of other holy books and claim that the Prophet Muhammad has written it. No doubt, just like their other claims, this claim too is quite contradictory and foolish. The Quran is the divine book that God has sent to all of mankind as a warning as well as guidance, and is valid until the Day of Judgment. Mankind has altered the other holy books that were sent before the Quran. However, God has protected the Quran. This fact is mentioned in Surah Hijr, verse 9. It is we who have sent down the reminder, and we who will preserve it. Another of the unsound claims widely spread by the unwise is that the Prophet Muhammad was inspired by the Torah and the Gospel, and afterwards wrote the Quran. At the root of this totally imaginary and baseless claim lie some similarities that exist between the Quran and the Bible. It is quite natural for such similarities to exist because, ultimately, if we were to remove the altered parts of the Torah and the Gospel, they all contain the words of God, and their message is one and the same. The main subjects, such as the presence of God, His oneness, His attributes, belief in the hereafter, the characteristic of believers, hypocrites, and those who deny Him, the lives of previous nations, guidance, prohibitions, and moral values, are universal facts and will stay unaltered throughout time. Consequently, it is no surprise that these topics mentioned in the previous holy books are similar and parallel to those in the Quran. Actually, there is no claim in the Quran that Islam is a very distinct religion. The similarities are stated in the Quranic verses as well. The Quran is certainly in the scriptures of the previous peoples. Is it not indeed a sign for them that the scholars of the tribe of Israel have knowledge of it? Surah 26, verse 196 to 197. Therefore, the presence of these similarities does not in any way show that the Prophet Muhammad wrote the Quran. In fact, quite the opposite. It further emphasizes the truth that the books of all divine religions come from one source, God. This is a reality stated by the Quran and confirmed by reason as well as logic. Moreover, there is another dimension to this subject. The Prophet Muhammad was not someone who collected information and researched either the Torah or the Gospel in his lifetime. The Prophet's fellow tribesmen closely witnessed the fact that he never actually read, wrote, worked on, or researched any of these books. No one ever had any doubt concerning this point. Furthermore, this characteristic of the Prophet that was so well known by the disbelievers was used in the Quran as evidence against them. This truth is explained in Surah Ankabut, verse 48. You never recited any book before it, nor did you write one down with your right hand. If you had, the purveyors of falsehood would have voiced their doubts. The term Ummi, which refers to a person who has no knowledge of the previous divine books and is not a member of these religions, is used in the Quran for the Prophet Muhammad to emphasize his attribute. The verse is, those who follow the messenger, the Ummi, whom they find written down with them in the Torah and the Gospel. Surah 7, verse 157. The context in which the term Ummi is used to refer to those who are not Christians or Jews can be seen in the verse. Say to those given the book and those who have no book, the Ummi, have you become Muslim? If they become Muslim, they have been guided. Surah 3, verse 20. As we can deduce from this verse, the term Ummi is used to refer to people other than those who have been sent books. So it becomes clear that the term is not used in the Quran with its classical form to imply the illiterate. We must also mention another irrational claim some people make about the Quran. We mentioned earlier that the scientific information in the Quran was ahead of the knowledge available at that time. This is a great miracle by itself. Those who oppose this obvious fact argue, in an effort to disguise this miracle from others, that the Prophet Muhammad gathered this information after being inspired by the advanced civilizations of the time. According to this claim, the Prophet Muhammad took information about such concepts as astronomy, embryology, and medicine from ancient civilizations. The invalidity of this assumption is visible from several standpoints. It is in particular known that the Prophet Muhammad never carried out such research during his life. No one has so far declared otherwise. Furthermore, it is well known that the Prophet had no knowledge of these civilizations' languages either. Again, anyone who wished to perform such research in that period would have had to go through a lot of difficulties. Obviously, 7th century Arabia did not contain any of our contemporary research tools such as large libraries, the press, bookstores, or the internet. Even with today's technology, it is not an easy task to research ancient Egyptian documents on embryology. The establishment of this civilization dates back to some 5,000 years ago. The number of written sources that have survived to our time is very limited. And furthermore, not all of them have been translated. In addition, it is imperative to have a detailed knowledge of history in order to evaluate and fully understand these translations. In short, such a study will be exceedingly difficult, even under the easier conditions of our time. Moreover, there is no reason to think that the information we have inherited from ancient civilizations is totally correct and sound. Incorrect information, superstitions, and twisted beliefs were common in those ancient societies. If, as the unwise claim, the scientific contents of the Quran had been gathered from the cultures of ancient civilizations, then they should have contained the same errors or inconsistencies. However, the Quran is free of all such things. Modern science has proven that all scientific Quranic verses are 100% accurate. This reality is further emphasized in Surah Nisa, verse 82, in this way: "Will they not ponder the Quran? If it had been from other than God, they would have found many inconsistencies in it." This is why the argument that the Prophet Muhammad gathered the contents of the scientific Quranic verses from the resources of other civilizations is totally groundless. Just like all the other claims. These defiant people promote yet another means by which they try to separate and distance others from the Quran. This is the claim that the Quran was revealed to the Arabs alone, and that they are the only people who have to follow it. Anyone who has read the Quran even once will realize how groundless and ridiculous this suggestion is. Many Quranic verses emphasize the fact that the Prophet Muhammad was a messenger sent for all mankind, and that everyone is responsible for obeying the commandments of the Quran until the Day of Judgment. For example, God says in Surah Saba, verse 28, "We only sent you for the whole of mankind, bringing good news and giving warning. But most of mankind do not know it." Those who protest, trying to confuse uninformed people and cause disturbances, will base their claim on the Quranic verse stated below: "We have not sent any messenger except with the language of his people so he can make things clear to them. God misguides anyone he wills and guides anyone he wills. He is the Almighty, the All-Wise." Surah 14, verse 4. The verse is crystal clear. The messenger will speak the same language as the nation he has been sent to. This has always been the case throughout history. Only such people can report the revelation of God to the public around them completely and perfectly. This is why the book revealed to the messengers will be of the same language as those of the messenger himself and his nation. There could be nothing more natural. Another subject that those who approach the Quran insincerely put forward, as if it constitutes a contradiction, is the fact that God uses the term we to refer to himself in many parts of the Quran. One of the examples of these verses can be given as follows. Who would deliberately renounce the religion of Abraham except someone who reveals himself to be a fool? We chose him in the world, and in the hereafter he will be one of the true believers. Surah 2, verse 130. The unwise assume the term we, which God uses in reference to himself in the Quran, to be a plural form, and suggest that the use of this word contradicts the fact that there is no other deity but God. They believe they have made a very significant discovery. In fact, the explanation of this misinterpretation, resulting from a very superficial and ignorant approach, is quite simple. In Arabic, the pronoun we is not used only as a plural form, but is also applied to accentuate greatness, grandeur, majesty, glory, high rank, and position in the singular as well. The term we, used for God, is applied in this context. The core and most significant message of the Quran is that there is no other deity but God, and that he alone must be obeyed. The fact that there is no other deity than God is stressed in various Quranic verses again and again. In fact, one does not necessarily have to be aware of this special use of the term in Arabic to grasp its purpose. Anyone with the least power of reasoning can appreciate the delicacy behind the term. The conditions of those who perceive this as a contradiction or defiance present a vivid picture of the level of their intelligence and understanding, and the aptitude they display. The repetitions in the Quran are the source of further confusion for the unwise who cannot understand the rationale behind them. In certain parts of the Quran, some subjects and verses are repeated. Constant reference is made in different Quranic anecdotes, examples and suggestions to the principles of religion, such as the existence and oneness of God, resignation, concession, the importance of praising God, the temporary nature of this world, gratitude and spending one's life on the path of God. There are even instances when a verse is repeated word for word in another place in the Quran. This has many plausible motives. In order to engrave essential subjects in the minds and hearts of people, they are repeated at every opportunity. Furthermore, every aspect of these vital subjects becomes easier to comprehend if they are covered in different examples and anecdotes. It is stated in various parts of the Quran that the universe was created in 6 days. Particular attention is often drawn to one section, however, where the number of days in the separate verses mentioning the different stages of creation adds up to 8. Those who are unable to grasp the evident logic behind these verses assume them to conflict with all the other Quranic verses which state the creation to have occurred in 6 days. These verses are as follows. Say, do you reject him who created the earth in 2 days? And make others equal to him? That is the Lord of all the worlds. He placed firmly embedded mountains on it, towering over it, and blessed it, and measured out its nourishment in it, laid out for those who seek it, all in 4 days. Then he turned to heaven when it was smoke and said to it and to the earth, come willingly or unwillingly. They both said, we come willingly. In 2 days, he determined them as 7 heavens and revealed, in every heaven, its own mandate. We adorned the lowest heaven with lamps and guarded it. That is the decree of the Almighty, the All-Knowing. Surah 41, verse 9 through 12. If the days mentioned in this verse are calculated, they add up to 8. Whereas it is stated in verse 3 of Surah Yunus and others that the earth, the skies, and everything in between were created in 6 days. This situation could appear incomprehensible to a superficial reader who refuses to use his mind and logic or to pay close attention. Those who approach the Quran to try to discover faults and contradictions frequently cite this verse. Yet, if a person concentrates and uses wisdom, he can easily see that there is absolutely no paradox at all. If we pay attention to the periods of time stated in the verses, we can reach the following calculations. It took 4 days from the time the universe was started until the sustenance had been made ready, or rather the necessary environment for living things was suitable, along with the creation of plants and animals. The beginning of this period, namely the shaping of the earth along with the universe, or in short the creation of the world, took the initial 2 of these 4 days. So, these 2 days are not a separate time frame from those first 4 days. They are, to be more precise, the first 2 days of the 4 days mentioned in the next verse. In the 11th and 12th verses state that the sky was formed in 2 days. In conclusion, they add up to 6 days. In short, the verses explain the separate time frames for each of the events that take place within the 6 days of creation. It is imperative to clarify the point that the term day mentioned in these verses is not used to refer to a 24-hour day, but instead to indicate the different periods and phases. Those who keep themselves occupied by looking for inconsistencies in the Quran refer to a man named Haman, who is mentioned in the Quranic verses as one of the Pharaoh's men. In the Torah, the name Haman is not used when the life of the prophet Moses is quoted. On the other hand, it is mentioned in the Gospel to refer to a helper of the Babylonian king who lived 1,100 years after the prophet Moses and persecuted the Jews. Those who claim that the prophet Muhammad wrote the Quran in the light of the Torah and the Gospel also put forth the sophistry that he copied some of the subjects of the Quran wrongly. The ridiculousness of this claim became obvious 200 years ago when the Egyptian hieroglyphs were deciphered and the name Haman was discovered in ancient Egyptian tablets. It was mentioned on the monument which now stands in the Hof Museum in Vienna. In the same monument, the closeness of Haman to the Pharaoh was also emphasized. The dictionary, The People in the New Kingdom, refers to Haman as the head of the quarry workers. This discovery brought to light a truly astonishing fact. Haman was, contrary to what those who opposed the Quran claimed, really a man who had lived in Egypt during the prophet Moses' time. And furthermore, just as stated in the Quran, he was close to the Pharaoh and dealt with construction of sorts. In conclusion, the discovery of the name Haman on ancient Egyptian tablets discredited another claim made by those who strive to find inconsistencies in the Quranic verses. Furthermore, the undeniable truth that the Quran is revealed by God is once again proven. We should not forget that there is no limit to the confusions and inconsistencies an unwise person with limited capacity can fabricate about the Quran and Islam. This is because the Quran possesses a style that can only be grasped with reason and understood with sincerity. So the factors that affect a person's understanding of the Quran are sincerity and reason. For this reason, there is no need to be surprised by the absurdity of the interpretations and objections an unwise person may make. As a true believer expects others to show the same logic that he possesses, it is naturally astonishing to him to hear some of this nonsense and these illogical interpretations. However, the Quran states that those who do not believe have no reason or understanding. If we were to view the unwise interpretations of non-believers from a Quranic perspective, we would no longer be surprised, but consider them as a warning and a sign. The Quran is the true book of God, and it is clear. It is impossible to cast any doubt on the Quran with any speculation. Disbelievers fool only themselves and those like them with such sophistry, as well as trying to suppress the voice of their consciences. Furthermore, true believers have neither the time nor the need to respond to each and every fabrication. The true believer is responsible for conveying the Quran's facts and miracles to others. Falsehood is bound to vanish when the truth comes. This is stated in Surah Anbiya, verse 18. Rather, we hurl the truth against falsehood and it cuts right through it, and it vanishes clean away. Woe without end for you for what you portray. Falsehood is always doomed to disappear. Say, truth has come and falsehood has vanished. Falsehood is always bound to vanish. We send down in the Quran that which is a healing and a mercy to the believers, but it only increases the wrongdoers in loss. Surah 17, verse 81 to 82. This program is based on the book How Do the Unwise Interpret the Quran by Harun Yahya.